On the Science of Spirituality podcast today, we interviewed Joanna Hennen. She is the founder of Be Soul Smart, a movement that reconnects people with their inner wisdom and magic and enables them to manifest their dreams and ambitions. Joanna believes that there is a magical side to life that we can all access. She believes that we are all souls having a human experience, and as souls, we have access to incredible wisdom, perspective, love, guidance, and support if we learn to use them with intention. And if we do, we can create what we want and need. She calls this soul smart living and wants everyone to know about it. This is because being soul smart has helped Joanna find more joy, fulfillment, meaning in life, satisfaction than she's ever thought possible. So our conversation was basically what she had shared in her bio.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the one thing that stuck out to me from the conversation, and again, it was mentioned in her bio, was that we all have access to that ability to kind of like go back into our, like, our true selves and like have that intuition. And so I remember she touched on that. And then we asked a little further about that, that like, this isn't something that you really need to like learn. It's more of like a rediscovering, like relearning process, because you already came here with this ability. And so that was like really like nice to hear, you know, because some people might be thinking, if you're listening to our podcast for a while, like, maybe I don't have this ability to do this. Or like, maybe like I'm just not cut out for this, but it's like, you came here with the ability. It's just about like getting in touch with that and like relearning it. And right. I feel like that's what we talked about a lot on this podcast too, which is good.
Definitely. Yeah, it was a great conversation. And I think, especially if you resonate with this kind of approach, you'll get a lot out of this episode.
Yeah, I agree. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carden.
And my name is Kevin Carden, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So, Joanna, welcome to the podcast. We're thrilled to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Me too. I mean, we already kind of started it before we hit record, so I'm looking forward to diving even deeper with this. So Joanna, let's begin with just you sharing your story of how you got to be doing the work that you do today.
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's see. So my name is Joanna Hennen. I founded a concept called Soul Smart, which essentially means living life or looking at life through the perspective of the soul. So like, I'm a very logical person. I come from a very logical background. And that just wasn't enough for me. And at some point in my life, I came across concepts that were a little bit odd and a little bit different, but to me, really useful, and to me, really like made me feel like life wasn't just like this random succession of stuff happening to me, like, you know, things being thrown at me that I had to dodge or deal with, but that life had some kind of bigger meaning, and that I was some part of something bigger, and that there was a mystery to life, you know, that was just beyond what I was experiencing at the time. So basically, I guess I was lucky enough to kind of go beyond in my mind the day-to-day stuff, and delve into something a little bit deeper. And I first, that was just for my own personal development. And eventually I started teaching it as well. So now I help people become soul smart. So to tap into their inner wisdom, to align with their higher self, to work with energy, to view life not just as a set reality, but as energy that can that you can work with, that you can co-create with.
Was there like a moment in, I guess, you know, you said that you had that came from like a logical background, and you started to notice that like maybe life wasn't as random as it seems to be. Like, was there like a moment where like that sticks out to you where you're like, wow, like, you know, when I felt this kind of emotion, this happened. And when I felt this kind of emotion, this happened. Or you noticed that like the way that you felt kind of changed the reality around you that made you want to kind of start looking into this stuff? Like, was there like a moment, or did it kind of slowly happen over time?
It was actually a moment, because it was a moment, but it wasn't like self-driven in that kind of beautiful way that you described. So it wasn't things that I started noticing. I had a nervous breakdown and had to stop working for a few months. And during those few months where kind of I could, you know, I was allowed to by society to retreat from, you know, from the daily battle, let's say, somebody gave me this lecture on the law of attraction. And that's what I had spent my days doing, was listening to this like long lecture, this series of these talks. And I was just like, oh my God, like, is this true? Like, can it be true? Can something be in my control? Like, I had always felt like such a victim, like all these horrible things happened to me. Like, you know, I had a rough start and, you know, and I just had to like deal with these things that kept being thrown at me. And I was like, can I come at this from a different direction? Like, could some of it be me led? Can I actually choose for what I want? You know, Can I make this different? And so it started there. So the idea was planted that there was a possibility of something else or some other forces at work, or, you know, and it's from there that I started observing myself and how I was reacting to things. And I remember one very, very specific moment when I was walking in my local park, and I remember thinking, I feel really good today. And I had never thought that before in my life. And I thought, surely it should be possible to feel good every day. Like, why would this be a once in a lifetime occurrence? And that's when I decided to move deeper in that direction. I was like, I knew where that feeling was coming from. And I was like, okay, I'm going to explore this further and see where it takes me.
I'm curious who was, or where, I don't know if you remember, but the lectures on the law of attraction, I'm wondering if it's like the first person that comes to mind was, who's that woman that channels? You might know her, Joanna.
You mean Esther Hicks.
Esther Hicks, oh, yeah.
I cannot remember the name. It was some American guy. I'm not sure if he wasn't a bit shady. And I don't remember his name, but I just remember the lectures being given to me with a disclaimer, like, don't look him up.
Interesting.
So I don't really remember. I should probably look it up at some point and see what I had noted down. I'm sure I have them still somewhere and I could get his name, but yeah.
Right.
It was one of those things, you know, that I wasn't expecting and I didn't ask for.
Right.
And just quote unquote happened.
Right. That's awesome. I mean, I think that there's things that come into our life for a reason at certain times of our life to help. Clearly it sounds like that's the case for you, and you took that time off in the retreat. And then to be given that information to help spark something clearly. Yeah. I'm curious if there's any other study you had done, or is it more, because I don't think it has to be, you know, having to study of this book or this person, like, because I think there's intuitive wisdom we can receive, but I'm curious your journey on that. Like, have there been teachers, have there been certain guides that have helped you, or is it your own internal and your own connection with spirit?
To be honest, like, a lot of the stuff that we talk about, that you guys talk about on your podcast, that I talk about in my work, I kind of instinctively knew or thought I, or like believed in since I was a child, but nobody else did, you know? And so I never talked about it. Like, I just never, like, I never even voiced it to anybody, because everything else was like, everything outside of me was so different to the way I thought the world worked or should work or should be expected to work, or, you know, any of those things. And I came across teachers along the way where I started realizing, hey, wait a minute, there are other people in the world who view things the way I view things, who, you know, who believe in magic and spirit and mysticism, and that we don't actually understand everything. And even like believing in, you know, in or expecting a positive outcome, even that, you know, like I was always really optimistic as a kid, and I would expect really good things to happen to me in my life, you know, and it was kind of, I was talked out of that because it was not a realistic attitude to have towards the world. And obviously my parents and teachers wanted to prepare me for what they viewed as a dangerous world, or yeah, I guess dangerous. So I was talked out of that as well. So a lot of the things that I learned later on, you know, were a thing that other people believed and researched and channeled on and whatever. I had actually always instinctively known. I just didn't realize that they were wider than stuff I made up in my head.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Do you think that most people or most souls are born into the world with that sense of like optimism and this sense of like connection, and that the world kind of, for lack of a better term, like beats that out of them? Or do you think that there are certain people who are born and they just know this thing versus, so I guess nature versus nurture is kind of what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know your opinion on that. Yeah.
I honestly really believe that we're all born with that. That when we're born, we all remember where we came from. You know, we have loads of stories of young children saying things that they couldn't know, that they couldn't possibly, you know, have any knowledge of in terms of like where they came from and past lives and all sorts of other things, you know. And there are certain cultures that accept that more than others. And so certain cultures accept those things that children say in a different way than maybe we do in the Western world. But I believe everybody is born with that knowledge. I believe everybody is born with that internal link. I believe everybody is born with the expectation that their desires are valid, that they matter in the world, that what they, you know, their needs should be met, and that they deserve to be happy. And that curiosity is healthy, and like all these things that we observe in small children, really, I think that's our natural state. And I just think it, you know, it doesn't necessarily get beaten out of us, I suppose, but it gets buried. So the way I really see it is that all that inner knowledge is buried under expectations and beliefs that we take on, and society stuff, and you know, and history that we're taught, and you know, all those lessons. And then the work, then when we talk about getting back to self, or even manifesting or alignment or any of those big words, I personally think that it's all about coming back to that inner self, that truth. That we're born with. And it's really all our work, no matter what the name we call it, all the work is shifting those layers of stuff on top of what we always knew was our truth. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. A couple interesting things that I got from what you were saying is that, or at least what I was thinking of is that, you know, when you were talking about your parents and people who are raising you and how they thought that they were preparing you for the real world by kind of tampering that optimism. So it kind of seems like that the people that are put in charge of raising us sometimes are really, they're doing their best to look out for us. But the I guess the result of that is they actually do bury this kind of innate wisdom, you know, under layers of, you know, whatever it is. And then the second point is that it makes me feel good. And I think it should make other people listening feel good, is that there's really not anything that you need to learn per se. Like, you already know these things. It's just about uncovering it and really discovering like what that actually means and looks like for you in your life. So that's what always really kind of attracted me to like personal development in the first place too. It's like, oh wow, like maybe I am this like spiritual, like powerful person. And there's just been some things that happened in my life that kind of buried that. And it kind of gave me some hope that it's like, all right, like, let's kind of see where this path leads me. And so that's, you know, that's kind of why it's been so easy to stay on like a journey like this for years. Cause it's, you know, it's more of like a discovery process. Like, you already know that you have all the answers. It's just like, you know, the process of discovering it.
Yeah. And it feels good, right? Because you're coming back to who you really are. You're like, every layer you release, like, didn't belong there. It probably didn't feel super good to have it in the first place, you know, to think of yourself in a particular way, or to take on somebody else's expectation or society's expectation, or any of the shoulds that we take on. So the process is a pleasant process, or I mean, if I guess if done correctly, it should be a pleasant process. I mean, it's also painful and hard to go through it, but in the end, like, it's I think it's really satisfying, because you are becoming more of who you really are, more of who you were always meant to be. All those big ideas that we like to buy into, I think they're real, you know. And I think it's really worth our while to do that work, to allow ourselves to show up in the world, to be in the world as who we really, really are.
I think it's our birthright. Another way of saying exactly what you just shared and Chris said,
but shorter, curious. More succinctly. Right. A bit wordy.
100%. I'm curious then your approach, Joanna, to releasing those layers. Like what can someone do listening to let go and work? Like you said, do the work. Like when we do this work, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to do the work?
My gosh, there's so many different things you can do. I think like what I always say is you have to find your own way of doing it, because there's no point like forcing yourself to do things that you're not enjoying as the process. You have to find a way to enjoy the process. So I'm a big journaling fan. So I do a lot of it through writing, you know, in all sorts of ways, letters to my soul, letters from my soul, letters to money, letters from money, like all sorts of things that allow me to uncover my beliefs and what I really believe, you know? And I remember when I first started, I would just question all my beliefs. Like, cause people just say things as truth. Like there are so many things that we take on as truth about ourselves, as truth about the world, as just the way things are. And like most of the time, they're not actual truth. Mm. And this is like, this actually brings me back to what you said, Chris, about the, you know, parents and guardians raising us in a way that wants to protect us. They don't want to hurt us. They're just sharing their own worldview. Their own worldview is based on what they were taught to believe, what they picked up, and what they kind of didn't shed as unnecessary layers. So passing on their worldview. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong. You can choose a different one, but you have to become really aware of how you view the world in the first place. Mm. And I think very importantly, you can decide how you view the world. So if I choose to view the world as friendly, then I can look for proof of that. And the more I look, the more proof I'll find. And that will reinforce my belief. So that would be a big part of the work, I think. Is to connect in with what you believe about the world, how you see things, and is that serving you and your goals? Is that actually helping you get to the experience of life that you would like to have?
Hmm. One of the things that I have been thinking about, let's say, you know, someone goes through the belief exercise or something and says, okay, like I'm just starting out at this. And I want to write down, you know, my current beliefs about the world. And then I want to ask myself, like, is this belief true? Like, is this what I actually believe? Do you have any like tips for people who are what do I actually make my North Star as the truth? Like, what does that mean? Like, what is the truth? Like, is it like a personal truth, or is it like some how do you define that, if that makes sense?
So I'm a very optimistic person. Some say naive. So to me, the way I've always seen it is the truth feels good. Mm. Like it feels right in your body. And so all the things that we tell ourselves that we think are true, you know, I'm not creative. You know, I suck at this or that. I'm a nasty person, or I'm not responsible with money. Like whatever those things are that we berate ourselves for, they are not truth. They are things that we picked up, that we were told, and they don't reflect our truth. And you can just, you know, repeat positive and negative statements to yourself and see how they feel in your body. And I mean, I can guarantee that things like, you know, I deserve to be loved are truth. Mm. And they will feel, you know, they might feel uncomfortable to say because you're not used to that, but they will feel good somewhere in your body. They will feel right. And that, like knowing that distinction between right, feeling something feeling right in your body and something feeling false in your body is practice. And one thing actually that I can't remember where I got this from. I've been doing this for so long. I can't always remember all the sources, but I remember someone I used to follow used to say to say things that are, you know, very, very clearly untrue. So like my body loves drinking paint. And just to notice how that feels in your body, as opposed to, you know, my body loves drinking water. Hmm. And yeah, by playing around with opposites like that are very, very clearly true and untrue, you can really practice noticing which statements feel that way to you.
Hmm. I think Well, Kevin, I wasn't going to ask a question. I was going to make a comment, and then you can, if you have a question. Because I was going to say, I think it's really important for people listening that I think that a key thing that you said there is that, you know, if you're trying to, let's say, change, if you're like writing down a belief or whatever, and you're trying to like think of like the truth statement to that belief, like sometimes even that truth statement can feel uncomfortable at first, but it doesn't mean that it's not true, because you can have such a deep rooted belief that you're, let's say, not enough, that you saying I am enough, like there could be this twinge of discomfort, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. So again, it's kind of about tuning into that and like understanding like, okay, like it's really just more of like a self-discovery thing, you know? So I just wanted to point that out, because, you know, some people might be saying, oh, you know, I say I'm enough, but it just doesn't feel right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's not true.
No. And the more you say it, the more it'll be true. Like that's how your system picked up the not enough belief in the first place, is you probably either were told or said it to yourself often enough. And, you know, once it's in there, your brain, so your brain just, your brain tunes out. I mean, I don't know the percentages. I'm awful with numbers, but see, that's one of mine. I should probably work on that belief. the brain tunes out like 95% of stuff. Like it literally deletes things. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this. So I knew that like the brain notices some things over other things based on your belief system, but it actually deletes stuff. So you don't even know that you noticed it, you know, and it'll delete anything that is against what you currently believe. So if you believe, if I believe that I'm awful with numbers, then that's what I'm going. My brain will literally delete any experience that's opposed to that. So you have to just become really aware, and force yourself to notice the opposite. Well, is that actually true? Like, you know, can I think of any examples where I was good with numbers? And hey, wait, I can. So that can't be true. Why am I, you know, why am I repeating that? And yeah. So if you switch it and then start repeating the new belief, then that'll help like shift your whole way of looking at the world.
That's a good point. And Kev, we've talked about this pretty good amount of times on the podcast, I'd say in various episodes, but like the brainstem has a part of it called the reticular activating system. And that's the thing that's really going to kind of draw your awareness. And it does filters out. Kev, do you have the percentage? It's like some crazy number. It's like 99% of like anything that you'll ever perceive with your five senses, it's going to filter out. And like your brain also does like a really good job of like keeping your worldview, your general worldview intact. And so like if something is like completely like outside of your worldview, like let's say you really believe you're not enough, and like there's like this example of you being enough, like your brain will kind of just pass right by it because it doesn't want to give you that incongruence in your head. And so like that's why a lot of the like with personal development and a lot of like just like improving yourself, the first step of a lot of things is awareness, like to actually understand like what's actually happening, because in the absence of that awareness, you know, your brain's just going to be on autopilot and it's going to try to keep your worldview relatively the same. And it's not doing that because it's upset with you. It's doing that because it's trying to protect you, trying to protect itself. It's like it wants to use as little brain power as possible to keep the ship running. So, you know, it does take that work, like an awareness to kind of be like, all right, I'm trying to change things. Yeah. All right, Kev, you had a question a couple minutes ago.
Yes. I'm curious. So, Joanna, going back to what you used as words to be, it sounded like a navigator for you. It's like what feels good. I really love that, because I've long believed and also teach my clients that whatever feels expansive, you want to lean into, I go toward, because life itself wants to expand. And if you look at the macro view of the entire universe, the whole impulse of life itself and what began from the beginning of time to now, and what God, source, spirit has created, is it's continuous expansion and growth. So that's what we want. But I'm curious to hear your point of view on how we navigate the nuance of satisfying the senses or satisfying the human body of like, you know, the like greed and what else, like gluttony, like, you know, for a simple example, oh, that donut tasted really good, so I'm going to go toward more donuts. No, it's not really going to over time feel good in the body, right? So how do you suggest navigating that?
Well, I want a donut right now, but besides that, well, I used to actually talk about things feeling good, and I stopped for that reason. And I started talking about things feeling right.
Nice.
And that, I think, I mean, it's definitely like a muscle to strengthen and to build. It doesn't come that easily. It also takes a lot of practice to be willing to follow what's right when it does not feel so good, or when fear is getting in the way. But I do think that when we quiet the mind, and that doesn't have to be through meditation. Like, I'm not a meditator, so it doesn't, you know, there's not any one way ever to any of these results. But when we quiet the mind, we do have that ability to sense what's the right way for us, you know, and sometimes you just know that you have to, you know, break up with that person, even though it's painful, or leave that job, even though you're not sure what the next step is, or, you know, or even something small, like read that book because you've seen it mentioned 3 times in the past week. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have those breadcrumbs to help guide us in the best possible direction. And I rather think of it as a feeling of something being right for you, for you, not for anybody else, not for your mother, not for the neighbor, you know, for you, right for you. And the other qualifier that I use a lot is to be kind to yourself, you know, and to give yourself what you need. So self-kindness, self-acceptance, self-compassion. So making sure that you feel good in the sense of, you know, confident about yourself, confident about where you are, confident about where you're going, and to not make things unnecessarily hard on yourself for no particular reason. So, so things feeling right and being kind to yourself are my two qualifiers for what feels good.
Well, good. I like it. That's a good navigator. 'Cause yeah, that's, I think it can get tricky if we don't use the right words, and because, you know, words are so, I mean, you, thinking of just your website, like you, that you say you're a word witch, and I'm sure that you appreciate the question of that nuance of asking that, you know, what word actually fits and what will actually help us in the direction we want to go.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, and yeah, words carry, I think we had this conversation at some other time, Kevin, but like, words carry a vibration as well. So it's really important to use words that carry a particular vibration for you,
right?
That feel right to you. So if you want to use the word feel good, if that works for you, then go right ahead. As long as you know that it's not like a in the moment, you know, sugar high. Although, you know, I have to say sometimes the donut is the right thing to do, right? I mean,
yes,
you have to be really aware of what you need and why in any particular moment. And sometimes it is the donut.
For sure. Definitely.
I think that's been like the struggle for, I want to say, like, as society continues to become more modern and like people continue to like invest in like screen time, and like we're getting constant messages all over the place from like even subconscious messages. And I feel like it's so hard to like kind of like get a sense of like who you are and what you really want and what really would be good for you if you're not careful and you don't actually put in that time. So like, I don't know. I mean, I would suggest like anyone listening to this podcast, like if you're kind of struggling with that, to like disconnect a little bit from, let's say, social media, or like just like maybe outside voices, like even if you have to take a break from the podcast, our podcast, let's say, like just like kind of a break from like outside voices, to like really just start to listen to what's bubbling up inside, because it could be so easy in today's day and age to like have all these things bombarding you from the outside that it's like it's kind of hard to get a sense of like who's actually talking, especially if you've never done any of this kind of work before. So I don't know if you've experienced that, Joanna, with any of your clients, like people who are like super new at this, and they're like, what if I don't know like what I want, or like what feels good? Like, where do I, like, you know, like, do you have any suggestions for them, I guess, like where to start, and like kind of some words of wisdom for them? Like if you have clients that like that.
Oh my God. I get clients like that all the time. Yeah. And I think like, even, I mean, that's where I started, and I still revert to that, you know, like it's like a spiral journey, right? Like, it's not like I have it all figured out and I never have these questions anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that sometimes as well. And that, why, like, it's such an important part of my life now to sit down with my journal and write stuff out, and really just, you know, make that space to check in with how I'm feeling. What do I want? You know, if something's not working, like, why could that be, you know, and how to move forward, like how to move forward towards goals, but also how to make today really as good as I can make it. Because that's the point, right, of life. Like, what's the point of chasing goals if today, if you're going to sacrifice today? So journaling is a great way to do it. I use a lot of intuitive art, actually. That's so I use that instead of meditation. I'm not an artist, but that's just how I learned to quiet my brain. So when you're doing something with your hands in a very intentional way, then that inner truth can really come through in ways that it can't otherwise. Because even with writing, sometimes you can get stuck in that logical brain, you know, taking over a little bit. So I use that. I use a lot of oracle cards and tarot cards. And if you're just starting out, then a great way to start is to get a deck, pull a card in the morning, ask what your message is, pull a card, and just journal on that. Like, if that card was your message, what would it be saying to you about your particular situation? Right. So just really trying to apply guidance to whatever you're struggling with right now, to whatever you're trying to figure out, to whatever you're working towards, and really just making that space. And yeah, it's really important. But like, I everything I think in my work now is geared towards solving this particular question, and how to help people do that, because it's just so easy to say, well, just follow your intuition. But what does that mean? Like, first of all, how do you know if it's intuition or something else? And second of all, like, what does it mean to follow it? Or like, what do you even ask it? Or some people don't know to ask it anything. So I'm very big on asking questions. I'm very big on applying any kind of spiritual guidance with prompts to your own particular situation. Like, even like, I've been channeling a weekly message for the groups that I run for like 10 years now. And it like started out as like living with their guidance, with the guidance that I pull through. And then I was like, no, it's not about listening to some guide out there. All those messages are meant to help you find your own truth, you know? So even getting a channeled reading or a tarot reading or anything like that, it's not about getting guidance from somewhere external. It's about getting some kind of input that will help you connect with what's right for you and what you really believe and what you really want. Mm-hmm. And that's just a practice. Really, that's all it is. Anybody can do it. It's not hard. You just need to make a little bit of space in your life to connect inward and ask yourself those questions and sit with whatever comes up, you know? And that's it. Mm. Easy peasy.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I love that idea, because, I mean, I don't use tarot cards and stuff. My fiance used to a little bit. And like, that's kind of how I always felt about it. Like, when I would, like, let's say get a card reading or something, like, it wouldn't actually like be like, all right, like, this card is exactly like what my message is supposed to be. But it would always like trigger something inside of me where it's mm-hmm. like, okay, like I almost felt like it was coming from within me. Just like the card was kind of like an outside thing that kind of helped. And so that's what it kind of sounds like you're saying too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, because I ask a lot of questions and I like to understand things, you know, and I work with a guide team, but I'm like, why am I working with a guide team when I'm supposed to be tuning into what I believe to be true somewhere within, you know? So I've been trying to reconcile all these, you know, all these concepts of soul and guides and universe and like what's talking to me, et cetera, et cetera. And I've really come to the conclusion that everything that we receive in terms of guidance is meant to connect us to our own intuition. The intuition is our link to the soul. The soul has a path that it's chosen for this lifetime. And it's kind of, you know, when we're aligned with that, then life feels a lot easier and a lot more fulfilling. Then it's like all the parts matching up, you know, and then there's mm-hmm. fulfillment. And if we drag our feet because we feel like we're not good enough, or we need to learn more or whatever, or when we just want to go in a totally different direction that's right for us because we think we should or somebody else wants us to, like, that's when things get really tricky and life feels unfulfilling, unsatisfying, and hard, and, you know, a lot of the things that we don't want to experience. So I think, like, there's guidance for us everywhere to come back to what we really believe is true for, you know, what's really true for us as souls. And when we pay attention to that, I think like the growth is immense and really, really rewarding.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful path, honestly, to think of or open up to, honestly. Because I wholeheartedly agree with you, Joanna. I've been on a certain path, say, for a decade now. And there have been times, many times, and most of the time, I would say, in doing that work of looking and hearing from the outer, but then relating it with the inner, things went really well. But then the times that I had forgotten or had mistakenly looked outward and was like, oh, that person has the answer, or that's what I should be doing, then yeah, I think it's just the inner, just the experience that you have, like things just don't feel right anymore if you do that.
But it's really hard to go inward, because that's not what we're taught, right? Like
right.
From our earliest years, we're taught that we don't know enough. We're right. too young. We're too inexperienced. We're too this. We're too that. We need to look to our parents, to our elders, to community leaders, to political leaders, to bosses, to teachers. Never, never to ourselves, ever. And, you know, and I think that really, really harms us. Right. And I think that's why, I personally think that's why such a huge portion of the population has ended up with anxiety and all sorts of other, you know, signs of life dissatisfaction.
Joanna, you mentioned you have a 14-year-old. I'm curious, since you mentioned that you've been on this path for a decade or even longer, sounds like, obviously, you know, there's maybe no like guarantee of like, even if you teach this of like someone like your child, like listening or actually following it. But I'm curious, like if you've seen a different kind of like, experience, or I believe it was your son, right? Versus say like other kids. Yeah. I'm curious if you like, just from your point of view perspective.
Look, my son is amazing, and I highly believe that he is like the best at everything, right? Now he thinks that what I do is a load of BS.
Sure.
So I'm kind of hoping that as he, you know, as he grows, he'll come back to some of this. He's very logical. So he calls me on things that I can't explain, because I take a lot on faith and personal experience,
right,
of channeling, of, you know, of feeling things, of sensing things. And plus, you know, I have the life experience of having followed certain impulses and, you know, having seen certain things work out in particular ways that in retrospect, I can put together as a path that I had been led on. Right. Whereas he doesn't have that. So I'm kind of hoping that it'll serve him in the future, but at the moment I can't say that he's for it.
Gotcha. All good. I was just in curiosity with that.
Yeah, that would be the dream, you know, but not right. Not yet.
Gotcha.
I almost feel like it's usually the people who are the most, like, I don't want to say stubborn against things like this, but who are super logical about thinking about it, that end up being like the strongest converts when they eventually come over to it, because like they try to think things through so much that it's like they're really trying to understand like why it works. And so that's what I was thinking of when you said that, because that's kind of how I am a little bit, like when it comes to like the reason we started this podcast, Science and Spirituality, is because Kevin was more the spirituality person, I was more the science person, and now I feel like over time we've kind of blended more to like even, I don't know, just maybe because of the conversations we have and all the people we've had on and stuff. But this is really interesting to see, like, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, like my own like transformation throughout the whole thing, like coming from being someone who was like super logical to now being someone who was more like, all right, like, you know, I do have faith now, and I do like, you know, believe in like a higher power and all that stuff. So it's just interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we go through phases as well, you know, and he needs to follow his own path, and we'll see. It's good that he questions, you know, it's good that he's not taking what mom says as truth. Like, he needs to follow his own truth. Now, I will say that all, you know, I guess, you know, we lead by example as well. And he is very, very good at identifying what he wants and what's right for him and following that. So he's exceptionally good at that. For a teenager, he is not swayed by what anybody else is doing, by what anybody else thinks. He knows what's right for him. If he's good at something, but he doesn't like it, he's not going to do it. So I think like a lot of the kind of underlying beliefs that you know, the red threads through all this work that are very very helpful, you know, to a healthy a healthy life, a healthy self-esteem. I think that's all been passed on, so it's good. It's all fine.
Nice. Well, it's good to hear. I had a feeling that there was something like that, given that obviously you raised him, so, and are still, so there's got to be something that was transferred, you know, just from, you know, the ages 0 to 7, how we're literally in hypnosis, like our brains, I don't know if you know that, Joanna, but our brains, the vibration of our brain waves are literally in, I think it's theta, but it's the hypnosis state from ages 0 to 7. So I had to have picked up something from you.
Oh my God. Like, honestly, I do know that. And it terrifies me because 0 to 7 are pretty tough years for the parents, you know?
Right, right.
So I don't know what, you know, what the sponge has picked up as beliefs we're going to have to unpick later in life.
Yeah. You know, given that though, honestly, with that just context and viewpoint, I actually think that we're meant, like a really zoomed out viewpoint, maybe even we can call it the God's viewpoint, is that as humans, we actually are meant to go through that kind of challenge, and we take on limiting beliefs, we may call it, or ways of living life or viewing life that are not ours, so that we can go through this process of awakening. And I don't think anyone can avoid it, because what human isn't flawed, you know? So I think it's just baked into the cake. And so it's not a thing to be mad about or try to get rid of, but to actually just understand and work with instead of resist.
Yeah. And I mean, why else would you have come here? There has to be some experience that we desire, that the soul desires, you know? And I really do believe, I mean, from everything that I've experienced myself, and everything that I've read, like, the soul does choose a lot of aspects of the life, you know, for particular reasons. And I mean, interestingly, like, sometimes it's reasons of growth for you, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a lesson for somebody else. And that's one of the things that's really important to fall back on your own inner knowing about, you know, when you get caught up in something, is that your lesson? Or are you just facilitating a lesson for someone else? And therefore, there's no need to be as emotionally involved. And you can step away, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just layers to this that will help, you know, that are just very complex, I think. And when you are able to fall back on your own inner knowing and your own connection to self and what's right for you, then navigating all of that becomes so much easier. And I just think life becomes just more meaningful and easier, and, you know, all sorts of good things.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about a little bit ago about, you know, that awareness piece, and how, like, a lot of clients that come to you as new people, like, they have trouble with that, like, you know, listening to themselves and their intuition and everything. Is there any other, like, you know, once people get into the work and they start to understand, like, okay, like, I need to, like, you know, kind of come back to my energy and really, like, start to listen to myself and disconnect from things outside of me. Is there any, like, other pitfalls that you notice within your clients that kind of come up over and over again? Like, that's kind of like an archetype of, like, what people struggle with when they're going through this work?
Impatience. Like, everybody wants the work to be done immediately on day one, you know? I saw something actually not related to spirit, but to physical health the other day on Instagram or Facebook or somewhere, where there was this guy, like, waiting around saying, I ate a salad and went to the gym, and now I'm waiting for my transformation to happen.
That's, like, interesting that you say that. Cause again, like, you know, the impatience piece, like, Kevin and I were literally, you know, we were going to, and I've taken a break from the podcast for a bit. Like, it's been like 3 months, and we were going to record earlier today. We postponed it to Thursday, and like a kind of like a coming back episode. And we were going to talk about that idea of, like, you know, Kevin and I have been in this work. Kevin's been in it for like 10 years. He's a coach. Like, he teaches people this, you know, he guides people through this. And like, I've been in this work for almost as long as him. And like, it's like, it's a constant, like, process. Like, you're never actually going to feel like you get there. Like, the minute you feel like you get there, there's always going to be some other, like, layer that you can kind of, like, move to. Right. And so it's the same thing with, like, fitness. It's the same thing with, like, a lot of things in life. It's like, you actually need to just change who you are versus, like, oh, I'm going to work out for 3 months and be healthy for the rest of my life. It's like, No, you need to figure out something that you're going to be able to stick with for the rest of your life and become a different person in order to have these results that stay. And I think that's like the biggest thing that a lot of people, when they start a process like this, might kind of look over. It's like, you really got to, you know, you got to change who you are. It's not like a thing you just kind of try on for a few weeks.
So yeah, not change your, not change who you are into some like better version, but more a more authentic version, right? That kind of brings us back to what we were talking about. And I agree completely. Like, that's how I view manifesting in general. It's like, we talk a lot about all the external stuff, but it's, for me, it's a journey of growth. So it is about identity. I talk about identity a lot, and becoming, I talk about becoming the person for whom your dream reality is the norm. And so, you know, like in karate, I'm not a martial arts expert either. I seem to be quoting a lot of things I know nothing about. But I mean, in karate, when you chop through the wood, you're taught to not focus on the wood, but on moving through the wood on the other side. And that's how I see manifesting. Like, a lot of people focus on the goal, right? So becoming a best-selling author or making a certain amount of money. And I always challenge them to look beyond. Okay, you're on the stage, you're getting your award, right? Your dream has come true. Great, good for you. And then what? You get off the stage, and then what? Like, where do you go for dinner? You know, where are you living? What are you doing the next day? Because it's not about that one goal, right? Like, life has all these other elements to it. And I think when we talk about manifesting, like, it's become just synonymous with goal achievement, with just general hustle. And that's not what it is. It is about growing into the person who's living that dream life. And that involves so many more aspects than getting up on a stage, getting an award, or going once to sign some books because you're a best-selling author, you know? So I think that's a really important point, that identity piece.
Yeah, and that's like the key too, because, you know, you have that goal, let's say like becoming a best-selling author, but then it's like, okay, what's the process of becoming a best-selling author? It's like, you probably got to write pages and pages a day. You got to probably write some crap at first, you know? It's like, and I think it's kind of about like figuring out something that you can, like you were saying, like make into an identity or make into a lifestyle that you can continue until you like, because like you become the person before you reach the goal, right? Like that's like, that's the idea of it. And so becoming the person takes a process, and it's a process you have to commit to. And it's about finding like some level of commitment that you can stick to that feels good for you. And again, I guess that's becoming more authentic towards who you truly are. And like you need to be able to stick to it. It's like if you're if you never lie, you never have to remember anything you said, right? It's like, you just, that's just who you are. That's kind of what you have to work to, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. And there's that belief aspect that we talked about before. It's not just about doing the writing, but then, you know, on the, like the person who has published that, so we're taking this author example, right? The person who's published that book, yes, they made, you know, they had to do some writing. Clearly they went through a writing process and did some writing somewhere along the way, but they also had to shed old identities, heal old wounds, change their whole belief system to see themselves as a writer, and not just as a writer, but as a writer worth reading, as someone who has a place in the world, as someone who has a message. So probably had to do a lot of work around self-doubt and fear of visibility, and like all sorts of stuff go into that. It's not just about the writing. And I think that gets forgotten a lot, because we all want the result, right? That's the world we live in. We want instant gratification, and that dopamine hit of the result. But the amount of personal growth that goes into achieving that result is often unexpected. And like, we can try to identify the things that we think go into it in terms of mindset changes or energy changes. And sometimes we can't, because we don't know what it'll be like to be a writer at that level, let's say at a, you know, New York Times bestselling author level. And sometimes those shifts that need to happen are quite surprising. So like in the past few years, like, I manifested my version of my dream life. And some of the shifts that I had to go through on the way were predictable. You know, I had to do certain things. I had to heal my relationship with money. I had to do certain things. some of them were not predictable. Like I had to go through a whole process of being okay with the unknown. That, I mean, I could not have known that that was part of my journey. But the person who lives this particular version of life had to become comfortable with the unknown and stepping into the unknown. And that's just, you know, that's just something that you have to learn along the way. So to complicate it, you know, there's just a lot of different elements.
And so because there's a lot of different elements like that, like in the very beginning, like do you you just tell like your clients to like focus on the thing that you do know and kind of like work towards that. And like the other things will kind of, you know, you're never going to know everything. Like if you're trying to like, let's say like imagine into a dream and what it's going to feel like, you're never actually going to know exactly like all the things, but it's like you feel into what you can and you work towards that. And then the other things kind of like, you just kind of have this expectation that, hey, other things are going to come in that you might have not realized. So like, just kind of be aware of those things, but let's just work towards what you know, kind of.
Exactly. Take that next right step that feels right to you towards your particular journey. So I always encourage people to think about the identity of the person who's of the version that's living their, you know, their best life, their ideal life, whatever that thing is that you want to experience. And to go with that, you know, and sometimes you'll know certain things, you know, like I knew that this version of me would read more books. So when I was in my previous version, I made sure to read more books, knowing that that would align me with the energy of the next, you know, of the next step. Sometimes you don't know and you use cards or you get a reading or you just do some journaling or whatever it is that you do to connect inward to get the next step. There's always a next step. There's always, always a next step. And as long as you follow that next right thing to work out within yourself, to work on, to align with, you will get there and probably like somewhere even better than you can imagine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Joanna. And that I feel that as an aspiring thing to think of or keep in mind and focus on. That I wholeheartedly agree as well. It's like just knowing the next step and focusing on that instead of like, how is it all going to work out? It just makes the path way easier.
And the path is your life. You know, that's maybe another thing that I would really like to make very, very clear. It's not about getting somewhere. You know, I get a lot of people who say, you know, oh, I'm doing all the things, but I haven't gotten there yet, you know. But once you get there, there'll be another there. Like we always have a desire. There'll always be a next thing that we want. And it, like, really, there is no there. I guess like when you get there, you'll die. No, I mean, that's probably the end as we can see it now. And I certainly don't want to get there any sooner than I have to, you know. And the path is your everyday life. So you need to make sure that what you're doing is, you know, is working for you today, not just getting you to a certain place. I think that's the whole idea behind, you know, behind feeling it first before creating it is allowing yourself to experience the things that you would like to experience already now before you hit the goal or hit the miles that you're aiming for.
Yeah, it sounds like to me, it's just like a flipped way of living life that most of us have not been trained in. It's like to actually like allow ourselves to feel good today or to focus on those feelings and the shift now rather than waiting for the actual result to happen. And then the journey becomes more of the gift.
Yeah, definitely a big part of being soul smart.
Right. That's awesome. Well, beautiful. Well, noticing our time here, we're coming to an end of our hour. So is there any final thought or message you want to share? Although I feel like what you just shared was a really great completion point, but there's anything else you want to add and then anything else you want to share of where people can find you and connect with you.
I don't think I have anything else to add. I just, you know, maybe just to reiterate that everybody has the ability to connect within. A lot of people tend to think that they don't because they're too logical or for whatever reason. Everybody has this. There's no, you know, it's not a gift. Like it's just the way we are. And that's, I think, really important to start off with or to end this on. And to find me, my website is joannahennin.com and I'm Joanna Hennin across all social media channels. So find me, ask me questions, connect. I'd love to meet anyone who has been touched by this conversation.
Awesome. And as always, we'll put the links in the description of this episode so that people could just click. And so if you're interested or that resonates with you, then you can go ahead and connect with Joanna on her website or her socials. So Joanna, thank you for being here. This is a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.